be seated. The reason we sang that hymn will become obvious to you in a few minutes as we hear the scripture and we hear my sermon regarding peace. The Old Testament lesson for today is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Listen to the word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And then from the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes this in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Wow, what a mouthful. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. Gracious God, break open now your word so that its truth might find its way into our hearts and thus change and transform us into the people you want us to be. Amen. The Apostle Paul makes some rather bold claims in the third chapter of Colossians, and he starts out that chapter by saying, set your minds on things above and not on things below. And then he goes on into the verses that I read for you to describe the way Christian community is to be like. And then he says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you were called to peace. What does it mean for you and me as Christians to be called to peace? And this is what I want to talk with you today about, peace. Everyone wants peace, peace of mind, a place they can go free of stress, a peace in their heart, mind, and soul that surpasses all understanding. People talk about wanting peace in the world, peace between neighbors, peace that allows them to sleep at night. I have yet to meet anyone who enjoys living without peace. We all yearn for peace, but all too often what we get is the very opposite. Stress and anxiety, students worried about a test, parents stressed about their kids, business men and women living in fear of a downsizing, maybe a loved one stationed overseas in a war zone. You and I turn on the TV and look at social media, and reporters are told to create every story with a conflict. And so we live with it day after day. Where do we find peace? It's been said we live in what some have called an age of anxiety. I saw a cartoon recently. It had a wife calling the doctor, "Doctor, doctor, come quick, it's my husband." "Well, what's the matter?" the doctor said. "Well," she said, "he got up in the morning all stressed about this job interview he's about to have. He took his vitamin pill and then his appetite suppressant, his antidepressant. He took a tranquilizer, his antihistamine for his allergy. He gargled with mouthwash. Then he lit a match to smoke his pipe and he blew up." I hope you're not ready to blow up this morning. But how about you? Do you have the peace that you desire in your life? Moments of peace of your mind and body and spirit, where everything's calm. Or is something eating at you, gnawing away at you, or maybe you're at odds with someone in your family or at work, and there's no rest. The Bible talks about three kinds of peace. There is spiritual peace, that is peace with God. That peace we experience when we're not fighting anymore or resisting God anymore, putting our life in God's hand, that fully trusting in God and having confidence in God. It is a peace born of faith and acceptance of God's love and God's will in our lives, trusting God so fully we believe God wishes the best for us. It is a peace that arises out of our being in communion with God, saying to God, God, I'm yours. Show me the way. As the hymn says, fix in us thy humble dwelling, visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Spiritual peace. And then there's emotional peace, and I believe this is what most people are talking about when they say, I want peace of mind. They want an inner sense of well-being, a sense of harmony and calm, a sense that everything in their life is in its proper place. Some seek unity with the universe. They turn to meditation, Buddhism, Tai Chi, spiritual retreat centers of all kinds are booming all over the United States. Getaway places, Sabbath places, Sabbath times. From a Christian perspective, however, this internal sense of contentment can only be fully experienced when our lives fall in line with God's purposes and plans. As St. Augustine has said, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. And then there's the third kind of peace the Bible talks about that moves us one step closer to true peace, and that is relational peace. Peace not only with God, but with others. Peace with a spouse, peace with our neighbors, peace with our children, peace with those with whom we work, peace with our enemies, peace even with those in our own church. Relational peace, by its definition, is the absence of hostility and tension. Romans 12:18 says, if at all possible, Paul writes, as far as it depends upon you, that's interesting the way he says it, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. With brothers and sisters, with family members, with neighbors, people in the same church, Paul instructs us that we are to do what we can to live at peace with others. So there you have it. We have spiritual peace, we have emotional peace, and we have relational peace. And the question is, can you and I find any of those kinds of peace in this world? In Colossians 3:15, the Apostle Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Another way of translating this verse is, William Barclay suggests, let the peace of Christ be the decider of all things within your heart. The Greek word for rule or decider really means umpire. Literally, this verse means let the peace of Christ umpire all the things of your heart. Now think with me for a moment. What does an umpire do? He keeps the peace. He makes the tough calls. He settles disputed perspectives. He makes sure that any conflicts that erupt are settled quickly so the game continues to be played smoothly and orderly for the sake of everyone. Likewise, if you and I want to experience peace, that peace of which Paul is talking about, we need to let the peace of Christ umpire the worries and disruptions of our soul. How many times do we feel stressed because we're pulled in two or more directions? Paul's advice to the early believers who were tossed to and fro by every wind of philosophy, he says, go to Jesus Christ and let his peace, his way, umpire, settle the choices of our hearts. The Bible also tells us that in order to experience true peace, we need to trust God and God's purposes and trust that God has a bigger perspective than we do and that God has our best interests at heart. But here is the hard part for us as believers. It is to trust in God's purposes even when what is happening in our lives doesn't make sense. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, which I read earlier for you, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How tempting it is for you and I to take matters into our own hands, take our future into our own hands, and try to figure it out all on our own. We can worry ourselves sick sometimes, trying to second-guess God. Our anxiety level shoots through the roof when after hours and hours and hours of thought, we still cannot find any satisfying solution to our dilemma all by ourselves. But you and I know that we can't be our own umpire. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, he translates these verses this way. Trust in God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. Listen for God's own voice in everything you do because he's the one who will keep you on track and focus on what matters most. A man came into me one day and said, Doug, I've gone to God with all my troubles. I pray every week. I seek God's guidance, but my life is still a mess. It's still in turmoil. What am I doing wrong? Well, the Bible does not promise you and me a trouble-free or stress-free life. God doesn't promise that God is there to protect us from all pain and suffering. The Bible does, however, promise us God's calming, sure, confident presence and peace to be a refuge when the storms of life do come. Or as Psalm 41 says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It doesn't say God will keep us from trouble, but that God will be with us in trouble. As believers, it would be good for us to remember that peace is not something that we create with sheer willpower, nor something we create by creating some sort of state of mind, convincing ourselves that we're in some meditative state of peace. True peace is not something we force on others. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Not long before his death, Henry Nouwen wrote a book called Sabbatical Journeys. He writes about some friends of his who were trapeze artists called the Flying Willendas, and they told Nouwen there's a special relationship between the flyer and the catcher on the trapeze. The flyer is the one who lets go, and the catcher is the one who catches the person flying through the air. As the flyer swings out high above the crowd on the trapeze, the moment comes when he must let go, and he arcs out into the air. His job is to remain as still as possible with his arms and his hands, not be waving them, but just to keep them steady and not try to grab anything. He must wait for the strong hands of the catcher to catch his wrists. If he waves his arms trying to catch, he will miss. So he has to wait in total trust and confidence to be snatched from the air. One of the Willendas told Nouwen, the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The catcher must wait in absolute trust. Be still and know that I am God, the psalmist writes. The Hebrew word for still means to ease up and to let go. Allow the strong arms of God to catch us. And lastly, and simply, if we want God's peace in our lives, the Bible says it's good if we were to ask for it. We need to ask Christ to come and rule or to umpire our hearts. We need to ask God to take up residence in our lives to be that refuge in the time of trouble. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So are you stressed out? Talk to God. Are you in conflict? Ask God to umpire that conflict. Are you worried? Cast your fears and anxieties upon God. So let me ask you this. Is there something gnawing at you today, preventing you from having the peace you desire and God desires for you? Have you asked Christ to umpire the matters of your life that are out of whack? Have you asked God to settle things once and for all and to trust him to be the catcher on life's trapeze? As we come to the communion table, I would encourage you to place all your concerns before God, to let go, and allow God to catch you and to umpire all things so that you might experience spiritual, emotional, and relational peace that Paul talks about. Let us pray. Lord, help us to invite you into our lives, to trust you fully and not to depend upon our own understanding. Come and umpire our hearts and take away the rush and the hurry and the anxiety, the brokenness. Grant us peace and communion with you, the Prince of Peace. And by your help, come and teach us how the peace of Christ might rule in our hearts each and every day. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen.